Discussions with the Giant Chichen in Doc Lat, Vietnam, April 2016. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include 3-2 Nicholas Viola, Sarah John Hien Lan, Sundra Kiao, and Tam.
Gain from the discussions in Nha Trang for the last few days. Was it interesting, or what did you learn from it?
I gained a lot of interest, I suppose, which has gained me to read further into the book and understand more terminology and to try and understand more what we're speaking about and encourage more insight into Buddha's teachings.
And when we talk about this moment and how actually now there is seeing and just that which is seen, no people, no beautiful beach, just visible object that's seen at this moment. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense. I had a similar style of belief about the present moment and things, but never had anything to learn from or understand. So when we use a lot more terms about only one peace in the present moment, and that the hearing and the seeing isn't all happening at the same time, where it rises and falls, definitely makes a lot more sense and helps me understand it a lot further.
And when you hear that there are just moments of experience, which we call citta, accompanied by mental factors, which we call chetasikas, experiencing the object at each moment, actually no one there, no one experiencing in life. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, but as I'm fairly new to it, it's a lot to swallow and digest, I would say. So take a lot more pondering on this and understanding before I can fully accept its true nature.
What about what is seen now?
What do you mean, sorry?
Yeah.
What is seen now? It's a set of conditions played out by my mind. So I see briefly only once in an instant as it flicks and rises and falls. But because my mind is conditioned to see how I've conventionally seen for so long, I believe that I'm continuously seeing and seeing a lot of people around me, which is not the truth.
Is there any difference between the seeing and that which is seen?
No, I don't think so.
The seeing.
The seeing, but yeah. If I am seeing, and then which is being seen, is seeing in its own perspective, so I don't see the difference.
Can that which seen see?
But if there is no me, to as I am not self, to see outwardly, but I experience the seeing, then therefore there is no tree which cannot see outwardly either to experience the seeing.
But if you don't talk about I, just the seeing itself is real, right? Because it sees. But at moment of seeing, is seeing the same as that which is seen?
No.
Right. But what is the difference?
The difference is that I'm experiencing the seeing and the seeing which is happening.
Actually, at moment of seeing, there's no one at all. What is there is just seeing itself. No idea of I understand seeing or I'm seeing. But actually, at moment of seeing, it's the moment of that which arises and sees, not I, not anyone, because it falls away instantly. But the I is there all the time. So actually, when we understand reality as it is, one by one, nothing can be considered or taken as I or me or myself or my at all. Yeah. So seeing is seeing, right? Yeah, and the difference between the seeing and the that which is seen is that that which is seen cannot experience anything. And the seeing, you cannot look at it, you cannot touch it, because there's no shape, no form at all. It only just conditioned to arise and see right now. Can you choose to see?
No.
Can you make seeing arise?
No.
Sure?
Well, if seeing is a condition that happens, mm-hmm. then even with eyes closed, we are still seeing continuously, not continuously, but as it rises and falls. Even if we don't see outwardly at the things that are being seen, we are still experiencing the rising and fall of seeing.
Not yet. It's only thinking about understanding or seeing. The seeing cannot stay long. But actually, this moment of seeing, before understanding what is seen or take that which is seen for something, seeing has fallen away completely, because seeing itself cannot think at all. Never. Whenever it arises, it just sees. As soon as it sees, it falls away instantly. So it's not thinking. So what is there at moment of seeing is that which is seen. And when you say that, when one closes one's eyes, there is still seeing. How? Okay, close one's eyes. There is seeing, but what is seen? What is about that which is seen?
You're not seeing things you are conditioned to see. Yes. So I see certain colors and
right.
shapes,
right.
but not what I have conditioned to say
right.
is a tree that I
right.
see.
How people and things gone? How can people and things gone?
How can people and things disappear?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because of the cover of our eyelids, which is not our eyelids.
When you close your eyes and you see various colors and things, is that something that is experienced by seeing consciousness, or is that the thinking mind that is visualizing?
It's hard to say, because I've been in complete darkness where I have had my eyes open, and when I close my eyes, nothing has changed. So it's hard for me to understand whether it's a seeing consciousness or whether it's a thinking consciousness.
Actually, there are different moments of seeing consciousness followed by rapidly by moments of thinking consciousness. And earlier you said, I experience the seeing. It seems I experience seeing, or I experience what is seen. But actually what we learn is that there are just the moments of seeing consciousness themselves, which see what is visible, and just the moments of thinking, which think about what is seen. And the idea that I experience seeing is actually an illusion, because where or what is this I that experiences it? So actually just moments of seeing followed by moments of thinking, moments of hearing followed by moments of thinking, and no I to be found anywhere that experiences anything. Does it seem to you there is an I that experiences life, that experiences seeing and hearing?
I believe there is no self. I believe that the condition arrives, and then we could experience things. But when the condition is not arise, then we cannot experience anymore. And to experience things, we have the mind consciousness, the eyes, and the thing around. And thing is not real, what I think. But it is. Yes. So, yeah, I believe there is no self to. No self to. That we can find out there is a self. So because of that, then we cannot say there is self an I to experience that.
So as you say, if at this moment there are conditions for seeing to occur,
there
has to be an object to be seen, there has to be I sense. So if there are conditions for seeing to occur, it arises and it experiences the object, the visible object, and falls away. And if there are conditions for hearing to arise, it arises, it experiences sound, and falls away. So no, my experience anywhere to be found.
That's true.
came here with many questions. Because last time I attended the 10-day course of meditation, so I attend only one day, the last day in Saigon last time with you. And something very different than what I experienced and learned before. So this time I came here with many questions, but so I would ask Ms. Sarah, first question, can you briefly explain the eight four paths? Eight four paths. Yeah, briefly. Yeah.
So the Buddha taught a path, a way, in order to understand the teachings, which eventually leads to the eradication of all defilements, of all attachment, of all ignorance. And this is the Eightfold Path. And actually, the Eightfold Path refers to eight mental factors, chetasikas, which arise together with the citta, with the moment of consciousness, when there is right understanding of a reality. So we've talked about seeing an visible object. When there is right understanding of that reality, of visible object, of just visible object, not just by thinking about it, but by directly understanding it, there is the understanding of the path. And at that moment, it is accompanied by other path factors, because right understanding cannot just experience the object on its own. It needs other mental factors such as awareness and concentration to accompany it, to understand and experience that reality. So the path is actually the development of right understanding of the realities we're talking about, of the truth of life at this moment, of understanding and associated factors in order to eradicate ignorance. Because usually we think I'm experiencing this and that and I'm lifting a bottle because of ignorance. So by discussing and considering more about realities, this is the way that understanding begins to develop, and this will lead to the development of the Eightfold Path.
Another way of thinking about the Eightfold Path is as just a moment of understanding of a presently arising reality. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is the understanding of what is real at the present moment. The so-called Noble Eightfold Path is just a way of describing what mental factors are present at a moment of understanding, starting with understanding itself and including the other factors that Sarah just mentioned, like right thinking, right effort, energy. It is not, as some people seem to think, eight consecutive steps. That is a common misconception of what the Eightfold Path involves. People think of a path, walking along the path, taking the factors one by one and developing them separately. But that is not the proper understanding of Noble Eightfold Path. It's just a moment of understanding.
So that means eight chetasika happen at the same time?
At the moment of enlightenment, all those eight chetasikas are present. Not only those eight, there are others too, but the Buddha has selected these eight to specify as the eight path factors. At a moment of understanding, not all eight are present. There's understanding now of seeing or visible object or thinking. There won't be all eight factors present. There'll be five factors present. So what we call ordinary or mundane understanding involves not all eight factors. At a moment of enlightenment or Lokutra understanding involves all eight factors.
Thank you very much. So I have another question. Eightfold Path is called Noble Eightfold Path. That means it's only understandable by the Noble One. Is it correct?
So when we refer to the Noble Eightfold Path, it refers to the moments of enlightenment. So at the moments of enlightenment, at the moment of becoming a Sotapanna, for example, it is the Noble Eightfold Path, those eight path factors arising, and at that moment they are the supramundane consciousness of the Aryan, of the Noble Disciple. So that is the Noble Eightfold Path. If it is the mundane path, as Jonathan mentioned, at moments of understanding of reality, then five or six factors will arise. And at those moments, it's not noble, but it's mundane path.
Eightfold Path is one of four noble truths. The fourth one, is it correct? So the one who attend like Sotapanna, first time they understand or they attend the four noble truth, that means they go to the end of the noble path, eightfold path. So like we are not Sotapanna or Arahant or any of the four, how do we start with? I heard that we start with seeing, and I also heard that we have to start with the Eightfold Path.
We to start with anything, because like we just discussed, actually no I or we, so no we to do or to start. But the Buddha taught about the development of right understanding, the development of Satipatthana, that leads to the realization of the Four Noble Truths. And what now, by discussing more about realities, this is the way that the intellectual right understanding in the first place accumulates and develops, in order for it to develop to the degree that it directly understands realities. And at this point, it is the mundane path that leads to the full realization of the Four Noble Truths. So the beginning is actually considering more about realities now in daily life. So this is why we asked about seeing and visible object. Because if there is the idea of I'm experiencing seeing, or I can see people and trees, then it's not the beginning of the understanding of life at this moment. So the beginning is about understanding, not about doing anything. And this will lead to the development of understanding to the degree that you mentioned.
It begins with hearing about what can be understood. Because we're talking about understanding, right? We've been talking about, so what is it that is the object of the understanding in the Buddha's teaching?
I heard the words of development of understanding.
Yes.
But there no one who developed it.
Right. But we still need to know what understanding of what?
Yeah.
Development
who
understanding of what?
Understand of what? Mm. Understand of everything around here, like a table. That a table is itself, right? A table is something.
Table is. Can table be directly experienced?
I don't think so.
Right. So it can't be, if something,
something
can't be directly experienced, it can't be directly understood.
So there is something here.
What can be understood is what is real at the present moment.
Because we try to say, we try to understand something that no one and nothing, but there is an understanding, and there is an object, and there is a reality is not someone. Reality is understanding and seeing and hearing like that. So should be an object, but
can,
no subject.
Can seeing be understood? Can seeing be the object of understanding?
Seeing not an object. Seeing just like object. Can be an object. Seeing object.
Well, is it real? Is it something that is happening at the present moment, that is arising at the present moment?
So they understand the seeing.
It can understand anything that is real at the present moment if it arises. So we start by learning about what can be the object of understanding before we get on to Eightfold Path factors and all that sort of thing. We start at the very beginning.
See,
a minute ago you said seeing experiences something. What does seeing experience? What is the reality, if any, that is experienced by seeing consciousness?
Something like this. When we sit here, we are sitting here. Somebody walk by. But actually, the seeing, it not see that person. Seeing just see.
Sees what?
Some object, just like a light and I don't know how to explain, but it's
and
very simple.
Can that object, that light, be the object of understanding?
Can be like that. Understand, see something, just see. Because so I point somewhere to sound, and then we don't pay attention to hear the sound. But hearing there and...
Is hearing real?
Yes, real.
Yes. And what
sure.
does hearing hear?
The sound. Huh?
Sound. Is sound real?
Real.
Real. So these are some examples of what things that are real at the present moment that can be understood directly without... Because they are arising, they are appearing, so they can be directly understood without thinking. Is table real?
No.
Table is an object of thinking, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yes, because what you is seen is the
imagine
visible object.
Imagine a table, yeah.
Conceptualized.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Is that kind of conceptualizing real?
No.
Why not?
No.
Why isn't it real?
Just imaginations.
Is it happening?
Yes, happening.
Otherwise, there couldn't be thinking of table.
The conceptualizations is the thinking.
The conceptualizing is real, but the object of the conceptualizing
not
is not real.
Correct.
Yeah.
Feeling, liking, disliking, clinging, ignorance, understanding, they're real.
Mm.
Can you or I experience feeling?
No.
No. So at a moment...
Just feeling.
Feeling arises,
yes.
And experience. It just feels pleasant or unpleasant or neutral and experiences the object. And at a moment of touching, there can be painful feeling or pleasant feeling. And what does, at a moment of touching, what does touching touch? What is experienced?
Just feeling. Touching.
What is experience? at a moment of touching.
It's touching.
Is a microphone touched?
No.
No. It's just an
touching.
Idea.
Yeah, just touching.
Touching what? Hardness.
Yeah, hardness and softness.
Softness.
And hot and cold.
Hot, cold, exactly. Motion.
Yeah,
yes.
Like that.
Okay, so these are tangible objects that are real as well. So by understanding more about those kind of realities which can experience an object, such as seeing or hearing or thinking or feeling, and those kind of realities which cannot experience anything at all, such as hardness and softness and visible object, this is a way that understanding begins to understand that actually there are just these two kinds of realities, those that can experience an object and those that don't experience anything, and no self, no thing to be found.
So the whole universe is all reality. Inside here,
the whole universe is an idea. A reality is what is arising at the present moment and can be experienced.
So an object for seeing or arising, for seeing or any other senses, any senses, the object can be inside and can be outside. For example, we see something, all about the touching. You can touch here, or can touch here. And we touching the object. The object has the characteristic like hot and cold and soft and like that.
Yes.
So it can be outside this five candles and can be inside.
Can what be would be an outside. Example of inside?
We touch our finger or touch our teeth like this.
It's still outside.
Still outside.
Whether I'm touching the table or my own hand, the contact is still.
First
but there is feeling. There is.
Feel hungry.
Yes.
This should be a touching between something inside here.
Can
is
be.
It inside or outside?
Sure. There can be pain inside the body, but it's still all body consciousness experiencing an object. So ultimately, it doesn't matter whether it's inside or outside.
Yeah. Inside, outside, just imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Just conceptualization, this body and the body.
Right.
Okay, understand. Thank you.
The moment of experiencing hardness or the moment of experiencing heat, at that moment of touching, there's no thought or idea of inside or outside or my body or outside. But afterwards, there is thinking. Taking that hardness for being the hardness of my arm, or taking the hardness for being the hardness of the table. But at the moment of touching, it's just that tangible object that is experienced at that moment.
To do, in order to develop the right understanding. So that's the first thing we start with. Then, how do we know we understand right?
Do you know the Buddha about his teachings, right?
Yes.
If no one understands his teachings, can one say that one know him? If
yes.
If one does not hear any words of the teaching at all and do not understand the teachings, can one say that one knows the Buddha and the Eightfold Path and the Noble Truth?
Cannot. If
not
we can cannot hear his teaching, cannot say we know him.
So who is he?
He is the enlightened one.
Yes.
Who can teach the truth.
He enlightened what?
All the reality, the truth.
What are all the realities? Just one by one.
For reality,
Pardon?
For reality.
One by one, just one. Reality at a time. Because you see that it's not easy to to understand the words of the Buddha, the enlightened one. His words are different from the other's words, no matter in this world or other worlds. That's why it takes time to really understand just one word of the teachings. For example, Dhamma. What is Dhamma? If we don't know Dhamma, can we understand the Four Noble Paths? Yeah. Can we understand the Four Noble Truth? Not at all. So, what is Dhamma? Why not people? Why not thing? Why not Tham, but Dhamma? So, what is Dhamma?
Dhamma is reality, clarity.
Okay. Whatever is real?
Yes.
Okay. If nothing arises at all, can there be any Dhamma?
Cannot. Something arises.
Before, when we talk about just moment when there's nothing arising at all, can there be a world or a Dhamma or anything? Not at all. No. So now whatever appears, if it does not arise, it cannot appear. Now there is seeing. If seeing does not arise, can there be the object which is seen?
Cannot.
No.
Not at all, no.
But seeing is different from that which is seen.
Correct.
Because different. Only that which is seen cannot experience anything at all.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. It can be sand or whatever, sky, mountain, sea. Those realities cannot experience anything at all. But they are real because each one has its own characteristic. Right?
Correct. Right.
But the characteristic which cannot experience anything at all is there in the world. Is there that reality which cannot experience at all here? What is that? Which cannot experience anything?
Discuss, for example, at the moment of touching the hardness. Can it experience anything, hardness?
Should be a consciousness. Understand. Consciousness can understand.
Can the hardness itself experience anything, or it can only be experienced?
The hardness can be experienced.
Can be experienced only. It cannot
cannot experience something.
Yes.
What else cannot experience anything?
Hardness, softness, heat,
like
nutrition, like sound, like light.
At this moment, what appears?
At this moment, seeing appear, of course.
Seeing? If it does not arise, can there be seeing?
Cannot.
Can you make seeing arise?
Seeing can only arrive with the
number of cetasikas.
No. There's something, something that can be seen.
When there's an object to be
seen. Yes, object to be something. Object to be seen, then see
at
it.
At birth, is there any reality which experiences an object at the moment of birth?
Of birth.
Birth. At moment of birth.
Yes.
You mean, you know what at moment of birth?
The baby who born.
Before there's any idea of baby, there is the first moment of life and the first moment of conception. We call it the birth consciousness. The first moment of
the first consciousness.
So what is birth again, please?
Just a consciousness.
The first moment of this life. So what is that which you take for the first moment of life?
The first consciousness who can experience
the reality which can experience the object arises.
Correct.
Okay. It's the beginning of life. At that very moment when it arises, does it know anything or experience anything at moment of birth. So it does mean that when there are objects of realities which can experience, they arise. You can, one cannot say that. Because some moment while one is fast asleep, nothing appears. But there is that which arises and falls away in succession. That's why it's not death. In order to understand the characteristic of that which can experience, it's different from that which cannot experience at all. In order to understand that actually there's no self, but there are different realities, beginning from understand realities, and that Buddha called Dhamma, any reality, whatever is real, is a reality or Dhamma. So he taught Dhamma because he enlightened the Dhammas in all, everything. At this moment, there are so many hidden reality which is not known at all. So we learn to understand the five doors or the mind door. When there is thinking, is there seeing? At moment of thinking, is it seeing?
No, cannot.
Can it think without seeing?
Can.
Yes.
We can close eye and think.
So the question is whether can there be thinking without seeing?
I'm not sure, but thinking is something.
Yes.
But different moments.
Yes.
Of the seeing, mm-hmm. We see first and think.
Okay. So seeing is a reality, and thinking is a reality, and thinking cannot see, and seeing cannot think. At all.
But we can think without seeing.
Yes.
At that moment.
Yes. Do you ever dream?
Yes.
And what's the dream?
Oh, sorry.
And what is the dream? Or a dream? What is a dream?
Just dream of something. And
yes,
not,
but
and remember, after we were awake, we remember.
At moment of dreaming.
At moment of dream.
Yeah.
This should be a reality.
What is that?
Thinking.
Oh. Yes. Yes. Right. Exactly.
But without seeing, right?
Without seeing, and this is the difference between moment of sleeping and moment of awakening. Being awake and being asleep is different.
Different, sure.
What is the difference between the two?
When sleeping. There is no seeing, no hearing, no.
So
it means almost five sense doors closed.
So what is there as the object of a dream?
Object should be an object.
At moment there is the reality which experiences, right? And what is the object of the moment of experiencing while one is dreaming?
I'm dreaming. Just imagine an idea, a concept about
what has been seen and heard before.
Yes, yes.
So it's a bit like when we're living in a dream world, thinking that we see a bottle and a table now.
Yeah.
It's an idea, an imagined idea about what has been seen and heard, different from the reality that is seen and heard. So actually, while we're dreaming, just thinking about different ideas all the time, and even when we're awake, actually there's a lot of daydreaming too, thinking about bottles and people and things, taking them for being real, but actually
not real.
At that moment, we think that we really see a bottle. We think there are people in the room, but it's just the imagination, the thinking, the daydreaming about people and things, because no understanding.
Yes. But what is the object of that dreaming? Because dreaming is true, real.
The thinking itself is real. The thinking and the mental factors are real. But the object of dreaming, the idea...
Not real.
Purple bottle, people in Disneyland, it's just an idea.
Yeah.
But if they'd not been seeing and hearing previously, there wouldn't be those ideas.
So I have another question just right now, at this moment. When we... The seeing is real at this moment. The object of seeing also real. But at this moment, thinking is real. And the object of thinking, not real. So, what condition the thinking? And that condition of thinking is real.
Whatever arises falls away in split seconds. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
So at this moment, is that which is seen permanent?
Not permanent.
Is seeing permanent?
Not at all.
So what arises after seeing?
Another seeing or another thinking? Or another
before thing. Another seeing. Nobody knows except the teachings of the Buddha, which we learn carefully. There is attachment and ignorance before the object falls away so fast, before thinking can arise. So thinking does not experience that which is completely gone, but it thinks or takes what is seen as something, but not through that doorway, after many moments later.
So...
And now, and at each moment during life, there is a mental factor which is sanya, which is memory, so it marks and remembers what is seen at each moment, what is heard, what is touched, and it is because of the memory which is accumulated that there is the thinking about those ideas. If there was no memory of objects seen and heard whilst dreaming at night, there would be no thinking about crazy people and things and situations, but because of the sanya, which has marked and remembered every object during life and past lives, it accumulates and it conditions the thinking. And this is why one person will think about one object and another about another. Actually, it's because of sanya, no one there, no one who is thinking, but the sanya conditions that thinking in different ways. So the more we learn about different kinds of realities, about different mental factors that arise with different moments of consciousness, the more it explains why there are conditions for seeing now, thinking in this way, thinking in that way, feeling pleasant, feeling unpleasant. So we learn about how every reality that arises in life arises because of very specific conditions. And this consideration is to help us understand that there really are just these different kinds of realities, cittas, cetasikas and rupas, those realities which can experience objects, cittas and cetasikas, and those realities that cannot experience anything, rupas, like hardness or sound. So it's all for the purpose of making it very clear that there really is no one there who can experience seeing or who can do anything, and no thing there that is seen or heard. And you asked before, how is it known? It is known by understanding. It is understanding itself that develops and knows exactly what is true, so that if someone says to you, no, you're wrong, it's not hardness that's touched, it's a table. When there's understanding, it's very clear, there's no doubt that actually that's not correct. It is hardness at that moment that is touched.
So at the moment of seeing, so in you're saying just now, I just understand that the seeing is citta, and the object is just like rupa. Then seeing citta, see for example citta, see the rupa. Then the cittasika like sanya, you just say, happen.
One citta arises at every moment in life. So seeing is a citta.
Yes.
Hearing is a citta, moments of thinking are citta, so always one citta. And each citta is accompanied by at least seven chetasikas or mental factors to experience the object. So at the moment that seeing sees visible object, that seeing is accompanied by sanya, memory, and other mental factors that also experience the object.
Yeah, so this moment can be a seeing, citta seeing, and the second can be a thinking.
Right.
And the first is thinking. Next can be thinking, many thinking like that.
Many thinking
then,
moments.
Then
yes.
A hearing, then again.
Yes.
Then the other thinking like that.
Yes.
And see five sense door, from think seeing, thinking, touching like that, five sense door.
With thinking in between.
Only five of the five sense door can experience the reality, the real object. But the thinking is not right. Uh-huh. So many thinking.
So many moments of thinking in between.
Yes,
so
yes.
Seeing sees the visible object and thinking thinks about that visible object.
Yes.
Yes. This is putting it in a simple way. Actually, it's more complicated, but simply, yes, at a moment of seeing sees visible object, and then some other cheetahs in that sense door process also experience visible object, and then afterwards there's thinking about it.
Yes, so the thinking, there's thinking in the cheetah, right? And cheetah think about unreal object. Then like seeing again, seeing real object.
When you say real object, you're referring to realities such as visible object and sound.
Yeah.
Right? There are other realities too, but what we take to be the world of people and things are really just these objects that are experienced through the sense doors. Visible object, sound, smell, taste, and the hardness, softness.
Yes.
Heat and cold that are touched.
Yes, five cent door. Yes.
And as Ajahn said a moment ago, that even before the thinking, there is the attachment to that object.
Attachment to the object? Even before the thinking? A lot.
I just mentioned after seeing, actually there are other cheetahs even in that idol process that experience visible object. And even before there is thinking about the visible object or thinking about ideas of people and things, there are wholesome or unwholesome cheetahs which arise and experience that visible object. Usually there is attachment immediately after seeing, even before there's thinking about this is a person or this is a coconut.
So attachment also chitasika or?
Yes.
This is a habit that has been accumulated.
Okay, I think I... Less other people.
Why do you say that attachment is cetasika?
Because it's real. And cetasika is real.
Because rupa is also real.
Real, yes.
So why do you say that cetasika?
Because I heard that there are only five.
Only
four, hearing, sorry, example. Four. Yeah. Chitta, cetasika, and rupa. And nibbana is different. Now you know only rupa, cetasika, and citta.
Since so you know the difference between citta and cetasika, you can tell us more about cetasikas. What are they?
Just like I just say, citta Chitta is consciousness.
Now we talk about cetasikas.
Cetasikas arise together with the chitta.
What are they?
Like sanya, like vedana.
What else?
Well, like vedana, attachment. Like panya.
Whatever in one life and one take for I'm hungry or I'm happy or I'm unhappy.
Feeling.
These are cetasika.
Feeling cetasika.
Because citta is only the faculty of experiencing an object. Only that. It cannot feel, it cannot remember, it cannot like or dislike at all. That's why whatever happens in one's life and one takes it for I, like happy, unhappy, so on, must be that which accompanies it, citta. But the citta itself cannot like, it cannot dislike, it just experiences an object.
So
this is the difference between citta and cetasika.
Yes. So citta just experience consciousness,
right.
Awareness
right.
Only. And cetasika come along with the citta and feeling
rising
and
together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Each has its particular function. So we mentioned, for example, at the moment of seeing, there are seven cetasikas that arise together with seeing, and we mentioned one is sanya, marking and remembering the object. But the wholesome or unwholesome factors, such as attachment, don't arise at that moment because seeing is a result of karma. So at that moment, it's just a result. Chitta. So at that moment of seeing, there is no attachment yet, but the attachment comes afterwards.
So attachment in cetasika, it should be a chitta with that attachment cetasika.
After the seeing has fallen away,
yes,
and there are another three chittas we don't need to mention, and then afterwards there are seven wholesome or unwholesome cheetahs which experience the same visible object.
Okay.
So if they are unwholesome cheetahs which experience the visible object, definitely they will be accompanied by ignorance and often they will be accompanied by attachment as well.
So that should be many cheetahs and many cheetahsika. And unwholesome cheetahsika, I mean, also they have citta together with that.
Yes.
Okay.
So there is the idle process. So there are seven wholesome or unwholesome cittas which experience that visible object. And then afterwards, there are many mind-door processes. And the mind-door processes, the cittas will arise with wholesome or unwholesome cetasikas.
So that's just like a machine. Automatically just happen like that.
And this is life. One chitta
conditioned after another, not in anyone's control.
Yeah.
And each chitta arising with particular chitta seekers experiencing the object by conditions, not by anyone's desire. One may decide now, okay, no more attachment. But it's not dependent on anyone's will. It's dependent on conditions at that moment, whether attachment will arise or not arise. No one can stop it.
So one condition and happen like that, chitta cetasika like that, and just like that, and just like continue like that forever.
Continue.
Then understand about this, like just we are discussing about now. Then understand it also cetasika. They understand arise along with another citta, with that cittasika understanding.
There is understanding at intellectual level, and there is understanding at direct level, of direct kind. What we are talking about now is just thinking about the way things are, of course.
Correct.
We need to come back to what is real at the present moment, because all this processes and so forth, that is not going to be the object of anyone's experience, right?
Yes, correct.
This is unknown
Which imagine manages that happen, and that's one by one the processes, right?
We're not thinking that this is what's going to be. So
at the moment, I'm thinking about
this. Right.
It's not real.
Yeah.
That happen.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, have to discussing like this. You're thinking as much.
As long as when we're discussing, we are remembering that what is important is what is real at the present moment, and not having knowledge of all these things that are in the books. The knowledge in the books is not the same as the development of understanding of the present moment reality.
Yeah, so just
even if it's
better for to the not for anyone for everyone, it is better for developing understanding, right understanding.
If it helps us,
need to remind all the time, back to the present moment.
It helps us to
experience,
appreciate that even what is arising at the present moment is not subject to our control. It is all happening, as you say, automatically. We would say by conditions rather than automatically. So it's very important to keep in mind that everything that is arising at the present moment is arising by conditions. That's the significance of understanding these finer details or talking about the finer details. The realities that are arising at the present moment are not seen as they really are. There is still the idea that I see you, I see tree, we are here, etc., etc., rather than the understanding of dhammas as dhammas, and the understanding that the conceptualizing is different from the experiencing of the realities about which the conceptualizing takes place.
Okay.
I'm really appreciating your questions. And just what Jonathan said there a moment ago about bearing in mind what the purpose of all the theory is, because we're inclined to forget that because of habits of ignorance. Like Jonathan was just talking then about thinking we live in the world of people and things. But what we talk about enables the development of the understanding of the reality that's present at the moment. And we forget that because of ignorance. Ignorance, as Ajahn has pointed out so many times, covers up the reality of the moment. It creates darkness. That is its nature, to create darkness. No light. Doesn't let light in.
Thank you. I think
can Jetasika arise without Chitta arising?
I cannot.
Can Chitta arise without Jetasika?
Cannot also.
Anatta, uncontrollable. Yeah. So one begins to understand the teachings of the Buddha. All dharmas, all realities are anatta.
Yeah.
Uncontrollable, arising and falling away. Whatever arises falls away in split seconds. That's why, as you said, it's like the factory of jittas produce that which like people and things, but actually it's only a bit, just one by one, nature of reality.
And at a moment when there is thinking about different processes, can there be any understanding of the thinking at that time?
At that time, no understanding.
Is thinking real?
Thinking is real, but thinking about something is not real.
Okay, thinking is real, so can there be understanding of thinking even at that time? Like no matter whether thinking is thinking about processes or coconuts or people in the garden, the thinking is real, so there can be understanding
even now.
It is just a dhamma, not my thinking. Yes. And no matter what the thinking is about. So this is what it means to come back to present reality now. So no matter what the object of thinking, whether it's thinking about different dhammas or thinking about coconuts, there can be understanding even
now. Thank you very much. And I understand that. Just thinking something unreal, thinking is real. And can't understand.
At that moment.
At that moment, can attend thinking.
So even when there's thinking about the past or the future or daydreaming, there can still be awareness of the reality of thinking. So when we talk about, when people talk about being in the present moment, they sometimes think it means we shouldn't think about anything other than the present moment. But that is not. Thinking is conditioned reality. Thinking of the past and future, you couldn't plan tomorrow without thinking about it. So the real meaning of being in the present moment is just understanding any presently arising reality as a reality according to its true nature.
Why do you think that the objects of thinking are not real?
Conceptualization.
Yes, it's a conceptualization, correct. But why aren't they? Why isn't conceptualization real? Why aren't the objects of conceptualization real? Conceptualization is another form of another way to say thinking, correct? Conceptualization and thinking is the same thing. So the question is, why aren't the objects of thinking or conceptualization real?
Why the object of thinking is not real, right? Not direct experience. Just a form, shape, like that.
Well,
not reality, yeah, correct.
What makes a reality? What do we mean by a reality? So what is the test for whether something is a reality and instead of a concept?
I don't know how to plan, answer this, but I just like this. The test like this, and then let the chili, put the chili inside a tan. That's a tan, which is very spicy. But that chili is not real, but the taste is real. And the object of the taste is real. Mm. So it's not real. The form, and the color, that's not real.
An object is not conceptualization is not real because it's not experienced by the five doors, because we don't really hear, we don't really see, but we imagine that.
There is hearing, and there are the objects of hearing. So there are. Ajahn is always reminding us there are the two realities. There is nama, that reality which experiences, like right now, and that might be thinking or hearing or sound. So there are those, bearing in mind there are these two realities, that which experiences and that which is experienced, which does not know anything. There is that reality which experiences and that reality which is experienced. And they're very different. They're very different. So my question was before was, and we, as Jonathan was pointing out, we go through life, we have to think. it's essential. You can't. The Buddha thought, everybody thinks, we have to think, that enables us to navigate our way through life. It enables us to understand the teachings without thinking about them carefully, and Ajahn is always stressing that so much, to think about them, to ponder, but also the application of them, which we are inclined to forget because of habits of ignorance. So the why I asked that question before, it's got two components to it in a sense, but I was listening to you and it occurred to me that so thinking is real, but the objects of thinking aren't. And it's not an easy concept initially to grasp. So why aren't they real? Because they have no intrinsic reality to them. You know, they have no has no intrinsic reality.
Say again. No.
No intrinsic reality.
They're not real because they lack certain characteristics of realities. And all realities have certain characteristics. And those characteristics are, they are dukkha, they are impermanent, and they are anatta. And a paññatti, or a concept, doesn't have those characteristics. A concept seems to last. In other words, this table's here. It appears to be here all the time. But in actual fact, it is not a table, and it is not here all the time. It rises and falls away very, very rapidly, not as a table, but as rupa realities. And but when we think of it in terms of a concept or a table, it seems as if it's here all the time. And so it lacks the reality, it lacks the characteristics of realities because it doesn't arise and fall away. It doesn't appear to arise and fall away. Okay? So that's, and it doesn't appear to be anatta, it doesn't appear to be dukkha. So.
Thank you very much. Very clear. Yeah. So, last question before. So, just understanding the reality, is this Dhamma from the Buddha teaching?
Buddha taught about realities.
Yes. So
all kinds of realities. So there's capital Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha, and the just Dhammas, whatever is real, is Dhamma.
Okay.
Because Buddha didn't teach about other things.
So meditation might be wrong.
What do you think about Dhamma?
Reality. Reality. With characteristics, like there's three characteristics.
Whatever is real. What arises and falls away.
Arise, fall away.
Yeah.
Instantly.
It's real. Yeah. It's Dhamma.
Yes.
So what does Panya, or right understanding, understand?
Panya understand.
Yes, understand what?
Reality.
Now?
Yes.
What is that?
Again. Right this moment. Can we see? See there, see in there. Just one away, another one is can be hearing voice here. Finished, gone, and continue with new thing. Touching, feeling now also reality. Nothing, and no one. Not Dhamma. So not. Not concentrating on this one. This one not real.
Understanding the present moment reality.
Correct.
That is going looking for something that we think should be the focus of our attention for getting certain results.
Okay. So thank you very much. Thank you.
So, does meditation practice help to understand realities? Because he told me that even though he finds it very helpful to hear about realities, he still likes to follow his meditation practice every morning.
I spent 10-day meditation before attending the last day in Saigon. And two things, sitting and walking meditation. So 1 hour sitting, 1 hour walking. And we were taught that just be mindful, like sati, mindful. And that's not sati, that's samasati, mindful. So when we walk, be mindful. And when we sit, focus on the breath in, out, and see from here, and come to here, and like this. And just focus on this. Then don't let the mind wander away. Yeah.
Can I ask you? When you focus on breath, when you were focusing on breath, is breath a reality or a concept?
Concept.
A concept. So we know that concepts are they real or not real?
Yeah. So
they're not real.
That's why I said meditation might not not the.
Yeah. So if the breath is not real, is a concept, where then. Can we say that that's mindfulness or sati?
Cannot samatati. Yeah, thank you very much.
What is the difference between sati and samasati?
Sati mean awareness. Samasati is right understanding. Understanding the reality is samasati.
It's not understanding. Panya is understanding, and sati is not
panya. Panya understand.
So, what is the difference between sati and samasati?
Sati just know the object. What I understand, sama is right, correct, with non-self, and sati. Can be wholesome or unwholesome. Is that right?
Sati cannot be unwholesome at all.
I have a question about the meditation. Yeah. If the breath isn't real, but the feeling is a present reality, instead of focusing on the breath, can we not be focusing on the feeling to help us understand the reality of the feeling?
Can there be the understanding when there's the idea of self who is breathing?
So again, I want to understand more about samma and sati.
What kind of reality is sati? According to the four?
Sati is jetasika.
Jetasika. Yeah, so it's a mental factor that arises with every wholesome or kusala citta. It's a mental factor that arises with every wholesome or kusala citta, moment of consciousness.
Yeah.
Right? So moments of consciousness, wholesome moments of consciousness are of different levels.
So sati is this level and samasati is different level, higher
exactly,
level.
Right.
So both are wholesome.
Both
sati
are
wholesome.
Because you just talk about samasati of the Eightfold Path.
Sati is the sati that accompanies the consciousness that arises with samaditi or panya.
Directly, not at level of intellectual understanding.
Wow, so that's pati pati.
Right.
Thank you.
So what, excuse me, what do you know by pati pati?
Different level, higher level, actually, I'd say.
Yes, but what does it mean, the Pali term, pati and pati, pati pati?
My understanding, pati, just intellectual understanding, is pariyati, and practice sometimes, experience the reality, after some time, become higher level of understanding, so called pati pati. That's what understanding. Yeah.
So who is doing the pati pati? Who is
no
doing?
No one. So should be no one.
So can any practice be done by someone?
Cannot.
So I
level
think
in English.
Just different levels. Yeah, I think that it's interesting because you also mentioned focusing and
that
meditation.
That's
so
meditation.
I think it's interesting to try to understand what meditation is, because I think now we agree that all that is in life is only realities, only conditioned dharmas. So that would be interesting to know what kind of dharma is what we call meditation. What do you think?
So meditation also a word. Is meditation? Meditation. In the meditation center, mm-hmm. It's not real meditation.
So what do you do when you do meditation?
Observe. Observe.
So what is the reality of observing? Like now, if you try to observe, what is the reality that is there?
Come back to the seeing and then happening in the...
What comes back to the seeing?
What?
Like now, okay? Let's say, imagine you are doing the meditation. What would you do that you would call that meditation?
It's wrong from the very beginning.
Yes, maybe.
It's just a kind of thinking about what's going on, right? Focusing is thinking. Focusing on something is thinking about that something. So it's not understanding.
What I understand now is that...
And is it wholesome or unwholesome, would you say?
I'm not sure wholesome or unwholesome. But what I understand now is when we think about meditation just now, but now when we say no meditation, mean I think about meditations,
like
imagination.
You gave some example. You said try to be aware while walking. So if there is trying to be aware while walking, can there be any sati when there's trying to be aware? Why not? Why when there's trying to be aware, why is there no sati?
Intention.
I am aware.
Intention.
So even what one would like so much to have awareness, but actually what one gets is the opposite. No awareness, because cannot be any kusala cittas at that moment of thinking of with the idea of I can do, I can have it.
You have a question?
So what
I also have a question. Yeah. Between what it has.
What realities are there at moment of meditating?
It's still
feeling. Now you know about reality.
The feeling is still seeing.
When there is no understanding, there must be ignorance and attachment. Otherwise, you won't go and you won't do.
When there is the idea, I will have awareness, it's attachment with wrong understanding, the opposite of right understanding.
So I have another question. What's different?
Observe that the realities in the meditation center are just the same as the realities now.
Different between that and now? You mean?
Well, the realities like seeing and thinking and hearing and thinking and the mental factors we've been talking about are all the same.
Same, sure.
Yes.
Same.
Yes.
Nothing different.
And so that was the point you were
different?
Making.
Sorry.
When you were there and you are here, what's the difference?
Different here is
the way they are thought about.
Reality in the moment, and back to reality in the moment, and there, focus on one object only, and
here is pariyatti, right? Pariyatti, and pariyatti doesn't mean only listening without any understanding, but it means very, very good in understanding the teachings until it becomes satyayana. Before there can be moment of sammasati. Because whatever arises must have right conditions for its arising. So without right understanding from the very beginning, the pariyatti, how can there be conditions for sammasati to arise? Mm-hmm. Because all are anatta.
So the wrong from beginning. Because in meditation, we were taught that directly go to paripatti. No need the pariyatti.
So you listen to whom?
No whom. Just now at the beginning.
At the meditation center. At the meditation center.
The master, the master, of course, the master teacher.
Not the Buddha's word.
Yeah.
At all.
Question, how do we know when there's right understanding, way back at the beginning there.
Yeah.
And the answer really is that if it's what the Buddha taught about, then that's right understanding, not what someone tells you is right understanding.
Okay.
What the Buddha taught can be tested or proved. It can be proved that when there is the thinking, I will try to have awareness by walking this way or sitting in this way, that actually at that moment there is the idea of I can do. So it can be proved.
And was there any meditation center in the Buddha's time?
No, not at all. I have been to India, all the places the Buddha has gone. Has been. I don't see any meditation center.
No,
not at all.
Center.
Yeah.
So we have to understand what word is for meditation in Pali. Bhavana.
Bhavana. Yeah.
Yes. Developing of understanding.
Bhavana means.
Development just means the gradual increase in the quality. So, development of understanding means understanding increases bit by bit. First, it's pariyatti. As pariyatti gets firmer, moments of patipatti arise naturally.
That's condition for the Eightfold Path.
Condition.
From theoretical understanding to practice in the sense of doing something. It's just that the quality of the understanding increases, the intensity increases. So moments of pariyatti accumulate and can condition moments of patipatti.
Oh, thank you.
And so, so one may like to close one's eyes because of attachment. One like might like to go into a quiet place because of attachment. But if one thinks that this will lead to more understanding, then is it right or not right?
So for me, I think the first we have to define what is meditation. What is meditation? So I just heard from Achan, meditation improve, develop my understanding of Bhagavana. So a little. But in the past, I have had a long time to make meditation with some famous method. I guess some benefit from that. But now I understand just benefit like something we do, not improve my understanding from meditation. Just meditation can help us to get some benefits, like everything we do, do exercise, make sport, like but the meditation do like this, it cannot help us to improve, to develop my understanding, or get or say the Bali word like Bhagavana. Oh, thank you very much.
Even the benefit of the meditation practice, what's that?
Ajahn is asking, what benefit did you get from the meditation practice?
For example, during a day, when I wake up, I have about 30 minutes for sitting meditation.
Well, excuse me, what is that?
Like my friend do.
Like you do?
No.
What do you do?
I just sit and
okay,
relax.
Okay, like now.
Not right now. I sit with
the
palm.
That is not natural at all.
Yeah.
And when it's not natural, it's motivated by attachment and desire.
Yeah.
Unknowingly. Yes. Great master is attachment. Yeah. Brings one away, always away from the truth.
Yeah. But I know, but just my feeling. Just my thinking, and I don't know exactly, but if I begin one day with a short sitting meditation, the day I feeling awareness and more strong.
Attachment to the idea of self. So each morning you added more attachment to the self.
But does that not mean that we meditate because of conditions that take us to meditation through the lack of understanding?
Like yoga?
Pardon?
Like yoga practice or what?
Yeah.
No understanding at all?
No understanding, but it's conditions that take I as such to do so.
Yeah, that's not the way to eradicate the idea of self at all, because of not understanding. Understanding, only understanding itself can gradually eliminate the idea of self.
Yeah, I understand that, but...
And what is the point of studying the teachings?
To understand.
That.
Further your understanding of non-self.
So, adding more and more each moment is not the way.
Okay.
say, swimming or walking, is it the same? If one spends 30 minutes stretching, for example, compared to, say, meditating?
Same.
Excuse me, why the same? Because
I'm about to ask that question.
I would like to know when you answer the same.
Pardon?
Are they the same?
Because the reality is the same. The seeing reality, then the thinking reality, and the hearing reality.
Is the purpose or motivation of each the same?
Not necessarily.
When one is stretching or walking, for example, there's purely the idea of exercise.
Yeah.
When there is meditation, there is usually the idea of something more than exercise.
Yes, the intention that's involved.
Yes.
Not the same.
Not the same.
One is motivated by an idea of what is important or real about life, and one is motivated by just the notion of exercise is good for one's body.
Yeah.
The danger is that because it isn't just attachment to one's well-being or health or something like this, common ordinary attachment, because actually deep down there is an idea that this is beneficial to the development of wholesome states, or to it will lead to pati-pati in some way. So actually that clinging to the idea of self is very deep-rooted and being accumulated at those times.
And there is no, what Ajahn so often speaks to us about, is there is no respectful appreciation and understanding of what the Buddha taught. We are following what somebody else has indicated to us is a path. However, there is not the, are we being truly respectful to the Buddha's word? That's what I'm trying to say. When we follow up a particular way, is it whose idea is it? Is it the Buddha's word? And I guess the question always then is, how do we find that out? And Sarah was mentioning before that the Buddha's teachings are always testable, and we can apply that, well, it can be applied to the present moment, which we forget about because there has been so much ignorance accumulated. And that is why often these practices like meditation or whatever other word you might like to apply to it can be so seductive, because of the incredible amount of ignorance which we have accumulated, which really get in the way. They cover up the understanding that can be developed at any time.
No benefit, and it's dangerous, because when it's not the right word, not the true word, it destroys the true words.
Half hour that is has some benefit for the day. Actually, it is just the accumulation of wrong understanding and wrong practice that is being accumulated. So, not beneficial. Yeah.
And how we feel is not a measure of wisdom. We may feel, inverted commas, good or happy, but that is not, according to the Buddha's teachings, a measure of wisdom. And it's so easy to be seduced by that, seduced by a feeling. And it's also so important. This is why John was talking about the pariyatti. Jonathan was speaking about that just a moment ago too. If there is not the correct pariyatti or the correct understanding, it will lead on to more misunderstanding. It'll just get greater and greater and take one further and further away from the present reality.
Mention about kusala and akusala. Can you explain a little bit more about the difference between that?
Sarah explained earlier how the moment of seeing or hearing is a result, moment of consciousness. It does not have any moral quality to it. You're familiar with the terms kusala and akusala? They mean wholesome and unwholesome. So the seeing consciousness, that moment when seeing experiences visible object or hearing experiences sound, the consciousness is neither wholesome or unwholesome, it is resultant. But shortly after that, there are moments of consciousness that arise that also experience the object, and these moments of consciousness are either wholesome or unwholesome. By this we mean that they are rooted in wholesome or unwholesome mental factors. The moral quality of a moment of consciousness depends on the mental factors that accompany it. Some mental factors, such as feeling, for example, have no moral quality of their own. If the citta, if the consciousness is wholesome, then the feeling is wholesome feeling, etc. But other mental factors, such as sati, awareness, are of either wholesome or unwholesome. Sati obviously being a wholesome, and panya, wisdom, and generosity being examples of mental factors that are wholesome. All the mental factors arising with a moment of consciousness are either wholesome or they're all unwholesome. They're not mixed. So when there is attachment, liking something, that is an unwholesome mental quality, and the consciousness is unwholesome. It is akusala. When there is disliking something, likewise, aversion. And when there is ignorance, that's another unwholesome mental factor, so the consciousness is a moment of unwholesome consciousness. In a day, so would there be mostly wholesome or unwholesome?
Unwholesome.
Unwholesome, exactly.
Because a lot of attachments.
All the time.
Yes.
And there are different levels of wholesome and unwholesomeness, especially when we talk about unwholesome mental factors. There are unwholesome moments of consciousness arising all the time that are not noticeable to us. It is just the accumulated tendency. There's attachment now to what is being seen and heard, but it's not really apparent to us. And these are just, it's said they ooze out all the time. But they can stronger, they are more apparent. Stronger still, and they condition us to act in a certain way. Strong aversion will condition harsh speech, for example, or to strike someone. Strong attachment may condition one to take more than one can eat at the table and that sort of thing. So different levels.
So at one moment, it either wholesome or unwholesome cannot be together.
Yes, it's either wholesome. Yeah. But so they can arise intermixed. They can be mixed, arising, interspersed.
Yes, different moments are different. But in one moment cannot be both together.
Wrong path as well as a right path. So, for example, at those moments of trying to be aware while walking slowly or sitting quietly, focusing on one's breath, actually it is there is awareness, but it's wrong awareness. There is concentration, but it's wrong concentration. There is understanding, but it's wrong understanding. There is effort, but it's wrong effort. So there is a wrong path as well as a right path. And as Ajahn said, it's dangerous because if there is following of the wrong path, it leads further and further away from the development of bhavana.
One unwholesome mental factor that we haven't specifically mentioned except in passing just then. We've mentioned ignorance, but there's another one that you could almost say is more dangerous than ignorance, and that's wrong view.
Wrong view.
Wrong view. Thinking that one understands when one wrongly understands is wrong view. And that takes one away from the path. Whereas ignorance is so just not knowing the object. But when one undertakes a practice, then wrong view is foremost.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
And who tell you to sit? You just sit by yourself?
and a really important facet, one really important aspect of Pariyapti is to understand what causes bring what results. To understand literally about cause and effect. If we have a misunderstanding of what causes bring what results, it will create problems. So it's so important to understand what causes really bring about the right results and to study respectfully what the Buddha taught about and consider that. And it's not easy at all.
So the master of the meditation center told you to sit?
Yeah, he told us to sit.
See,
us to
no
focus.
Understanding.
Yeah. Wrong at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that it was just a very important point then when we clarified the meanings of what is beneficial, like you mentioned before, and just now Jonathan explained about kusala and akusala. So usually in life we think that it's beneficial when you feel happy and more peaceful, but whether it's it kusala or it's it akusala, it takes more studyings and understanding to know which moment is really kusala and which moment is really akusala, then we will not mistake between what is beneficial and what is not beneficial, because we know that in the ultimate sense, only what is kusala is beneficial. So I think it happens to a lot of people who undertake meditation practices. And when they are in the meditation centers, they feel very peaceful. And even they feel kind and, you know, more happiness to others. And then going back to daily life, they find it difficult to be with other people because it's not the same things anymore. So we should really try to see whether there's attachment there or what has been developed in the meditation centers are really understanding and wholesome states.
Thank you for the sharing. I just want to say my experience or my understanding about meditation. So for me, meditation is also like a tool. It's not a tool. Is not so when your mind is not able to calm down to see what is real and what is not real, what is the object of seeing, what is seeing, then you need some kind of calmness to able to see that. But if we develop the attachment to meditation, I meditate in order to have good feeling, a good thing about life, I think that is not right. But at the beginning, because of strong habit of clinging, there is an I, there is things, and I would like to undo that habit of thinking. There is an I, there is a thing before me. then meditate in order to seeing that. I think it should be a good thing, like a tool for helping developing the understanding. As well as we studying, listening Dharma, discussing a Dharma, it's also a way to understand that truth that you are saying. So I don't think it's not a good thing to meditate sometimes, or it's always not good to meditate. And also other question, like I very beginning, so I understand what you are saying that the moment we see is real and the object of seeing is not real, right?
Which question shall we take first? The meditation
maybe
one?
Maybe the first one, okay. First.
How do you meditate in order to see the eye?
By seeing that, by trying to seeing the thing that arises in the mind, at the moment it arises, and there's no more judgment that this is good, that is not good, and no more kind of trying to no more think, not no more thinking, but trying to see that process of seeing, and after seeing, there is thinking, there is clinging, there is grasping, there is dislike, non-dislike, kind of thing. By seeing that, like go backward to the moment of seeing just the way it is and no more. So.
And is there an idea of I who is doing this?
If at that moment we develop I doing that, I want to have that appearance, and it's not true. But just to able to, just to see, seeing the seeing.
So if it's just to see seeing or just to see anything, why does one have to
meditate.
Adopt this, yeah, and
yeah.
Meditate.
Because the strong habit of immediately there's an I appear whenever we see or we experience something. So the meditation is to go back. And I believe that at some moment when we have strong understanding of when things arise, we see it as it is, there's no need for meditation. Or we call it non-meditation time.
So you think you can catch the moment before the eye comes in? Is that the idea?
Yeah, I feel like when the moment arises and is a moment that we, not we, but there is a moment of understanding to see that there is that thing we are experiencing is not permanent, and it comes when the condition arises and when it disappears when no more condition. And so we have no grasping and no aversion. So I think there is a moment like that.
I think it's just thinking about thinking. Because one is focusing on what one is thinking.
This one I'm not clear yet.
Yeah. But what is I and what is understanding?
There is no I, and understanding is...
But who is doing like that?
Doing.
When you said before that at that time you are trying to see the thing that arises, who tries to see that thing?
Okay. Then there is an illusion, then thinking there is understanding to try to attain.
So it's an illusion, it's ignorance that tries to see the thing that arises.
Yeah.
So if it's ignorance or an illusion that is trying, how can that ignorance or that illusion lead to right understanding?
Well, there will be not from the beginning, but how to say that?
So what is the difference between I and understanding?
What's it?
I is wrong understanding, because yes, actually there's no I.
Yes.
Okay, so what is right understanding?
To see thing at the moment.
Not to see, just to understand.
Just to, yeah, understand.
Without intellectual understanding, can there be the moment of direct understanding that you wish to see?
Sure, there's a direct understanding, and we think it's a realization.
But no understanding from the very beginning. So how can it develop to that high degree?
I have to think about it.
Are you sure that this moment can be object of direct understanding and realization?
Can.
So how? Not just by trying with the
by
idea of self.
By direct understanding?
Yes. So right understanding has to begin from hearing the teachings very carefully.
It's just, I agree with that. It's just our habit is often brought us to the wrong understanding.
Yeah.
And so meditation is like a tool to bring us back to the direct understanding. So I still think it's a good thing.
What is that reality that leads to such thinking?
To
attachment. Just really want to do anything, but not developing understanding from hearing and considering.
Our habit is wrong understanding, as you say, then the antidote to that has to be the beginning of right understanding.
Yes.
Not trying to catch the wrong understanding.
Okay.
Trying to catch wrong understanding is just another way of chasing the dog chasing its tail. It's just more thinking an idea of doing things. But the antidote to wrong understanding is the beginning of development of right understanding.
That direct understanding arises by itself?
Never.
It arises, it starts to arise when we hear about, firstly, what can be the object of understanding. What do we mean by direct understanding or right understanding? Understanding of what, as we said earlier?
To be truthful to this moment, can seeing be directly known as no one, no self at all?
Can
at
you
this very moment?
Yes, can you repeat?
At this very moment, can there be the direct understanding of seeing as not self now?
For me, no. But for a realized being, can see it at a direct.
Only understanding, which has no expectation at all, yeah, that all dhammas are anatta. So no expectation for awareness to arise, because it's so, one understands so clear that everything is conditioned. Can you make a dream tonight to be?
Can I control my dream, or can I? No.
You
can I make dream? No.
See?
It's come by condition.
So right understanding has to be conditioned from hearing, considering, understanding, until it's so firm.
So, yes.
To be conditioned for direct understanding. Unexpectedly. Naturally, because now realities are conditioned, arising and falling away all the time, and no expectation to realize what characteristic of a reality. Who knows? Because even samasati is conditioned. You cannot say, be aware of this or be aware of that. It's impossible.
So, trying to see any meditation or any other name one might use, which means trying to do, trying to see, trying to experience, is actually following the wrong path. It's the opposite of developing right understanding, because actually it's just accumulating more and more clinging to the idea that I can do something and I can get results. So the right path has to begin, as we said at the beginning of the discussion, to understand more about the realities of life. We don't need a Buddha to tell us this is a coconut and this is a table and to tell us about conventional truths, but we need a Buddha to tell us about absolute realities. So at this moment, there is seeing, and what does seeing see now?
The question for me?
Because this was your second question, so what does seeing see now?
For me?
Anyone?
Yeah.
Actually, it's not my seeing or your seeing, but when seeing consciousness arises,
yeah,
what does it experience?
The seeing consciousness and the outside come together, then I experience it.
That's a story about seeing and my experience.
Yes.
But actually, as we said, really no one to experience anything at all.
Yes, so
actually, at a moment of seeing, that citta, that kind of consciousness, it arises and it experiences that which is visible, that's it, and falls away instantly. No hair or brain or eye doing anything, just a moment of experiencing that which is visible and then falls away. And that which is seen, the visible object, is just that which is seen. It's not a coconut and it's not people.
Yes, yes, agree.
Just that which is visible. No one there, no thing in it.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So there are just these two kinds of realities. The reality like seeing, which experiences the object, not my experience, and the kind of reality like visible object that is experienced, that doesn't know anything, that doesn't experience anything, just that which is seen for a moment. And beginning to consider and understand more about these different realities is the way that it will be clearer and clearer that there really is no one there, no one that can do anything, no point in trying to be aware or do something.
Yeah, I understand.
And what are there, what realities are there at the moment of trying to do something in order to experience or to see reality?
Because there is to...
What are there at that very moment?
Is the wrong understanding
and?
Of what need to understand.
And
there was a trying effort.
And
there is I, there is
yes.
Something need to be understood.
And?
Sorry? Attachment.
And?
Wanting to get a result.
And? Ignorance, yeah.
Hello. Ajahn just said now, by hearing, considering, and
understanding,
then...
Just one word at a time.
Yeah. Hearing, considering, understanding, then...
Because each word conforms with the other words of the teachings.
Yeah. Then... developing naturally.
By itself.
By
without panya, how can panya develop? So there must be panya from the very beginning. So it develops little by little.
So by hearing also panya there?
Any. Because what is hearing and what is reading and what is thinking and what is seeing?
Reading.
What is reading?
I think what Ajahn is saying is that it's the hearing and considering that lead to the understanding. It's not that we hear, we consider, and we understand in the sense of doing those things, but the conditions for the understanding are hearing and considering what's been heard and intellectually grasped.
So hearing and reading can also reading. Reading, hearing...
A moment of understanding must be there, no matter from hearing, reading, or thinking.
The Dhamma can be heard from the spoken word or read from the page. It doesn't matter in what way the one hears or comes to know about the theory, if you like, about the way things are. So whether one hears, listens to a recording, takes part in a discussion, reads a book or whatever, any of that can be a description, a truthful description of the way things really are, and can condition reflection on what has been heard or read.
It's the wise consideration whilst hearing or reading or listening. Someone may read the book, but without any wise considering, without any understanding, someone may come here and not listen or consider what is said. So it's not a matter of following the activity of reading for so many hours or listening for so many hours. It's the wise reflection, the wise consideration at that time from that activity.
And nor is it a matter of how much one has read, how much of the teachings of the Tipitaka one has studied. One could hear something useful and consider it and reflect, and it be a condition for some understanding without ever having come across a text in theory, if you see what I mean. Yeah. So we may not know the Pali terms, but we can still talk about the way things are in reality.
Hi. I just don't understand this. You guys said before that doing meditation is, again, trying to, and I understand that, trying to achieve something. So that supposes that you still believe in someone, you know, in a self. But learning the Buddha teaching is not exactly the same thing. You know, someone that is want to learn it. Why? Because you suppose there is a person that he wants to get some benefit or some understanding. So what about the understanding, just be the understanding? It's not about, I get at the point now that I start believing that the understanding will come with his own time, with his own moments. Nobody can do nothing. There is nothing that can be done. There is no reading, no studying. More we try to achieve it, more we get far from it. Because more we try to achieve it, more we believe there is something that is able to get to it. So more we study to it, more we get so, you know, into these things, more we get very far from what actually is the understanding.
That's why only listening to the right word or the truth of reality, only the true words, like seeing. That is seeing, but who knows what seeing is? When someone knows and we listen, whether it's right to know that seeing is real, but it's conditioned with our eyes and that which impinge on the eyes, they cannot be seeing at all. The blind cannot see. See, just studying the truth from whose words? The enlightened one, because we are not the enlightened one. Someone might know more than us, see?
Okay. Thank you.
I was just going to say before that, and we've often spoken about this, that there are four factors that lead to enlightenment or to the attainment of sotapanna, and that is what's called sapurisa sangsewo, so having association with the wise person. The second factor is, and this is from the Buddhist texts, saddhamma sawanam, which is hearing the Dhamma. The third factor is yoniso manasikara, which is wisely considering which is presently arising. Yoniso, so it's a present. Wisely considering what is presently arising. And dhammanu dhamma patti, Sati, which is treading the path according to the Buddha's teachings, not somebody else's idea. And as Ajahn talked about that word just a moment ago, in the highest sense, patti means to touch the reality of what is presently arising.
So, Viola, I understand what you are saying, that wanting just to get knowledge and understanding can be reinforcing the idea of a self who can get understanding. But on the other hand, if just left to our own thinking from first principles, as it were, we have a very limited repertoire of ideas or starting points. So, as Ajahn explained, it helps to have heard a description of the way things are, not that we then follow that, but so that we can consider whether our experience in life is supportive of that or consistent with that description. Because, for example, there can only be knowledge of what we've experienced in this lifetime. So where do all the strong tendencies that we are born with come from? That sort of thing. We have a limited perspective. The way things are can have much broader implications than we are capable of coming to understand by our own initiative.
Even if this, from my point of view, of course, it still seems to me still reinforcing the idea of self. Even if you believe, I do this to detach, to create detachment, more we try to detach, more we actually believe that there is someone that is detaching. So it seems there is exactly the same thing, doing and not doing, it doesn't end. Do you know what I mean?
Right. So we agree that trying to detach is
again
not...
Yeah, and again, do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
but
it seems that trying...
Can there be detachment?
Sorry?
Can there be detachment without trying to detach?
If we stop trying to do it, it just happens
right.
Naturally.
So we agree there can be detachment. What are the conditions for detachment to arise?
Try not to detach.
Well...
Like, not trying, just be, I mean, for me, I think, like, what about just be natural? Like,
yeah,
just accept
right.
our nature. There is, yes, our nature as a human, as a coming from animal, whatever, is having a part of us that believe that it exists. And instead to fight it and try to put it down or avoid it or forget about it or detach from it, accept it. And like, yeah, that's exactly how it is. That there's this part of me that will constantly come up, and instead to try to push it away and create more sufferance of, instead to actually get to know that part, get to know that part through meditation. Through meditation, I get to know that part of me that is not real. I get, not that I get to know. So there are some moments that I, sorry if I use I or whatever, I try
right.
you can understand, yeah. but there is just nothing, like there is not even a, I don't know how to explain. It's like the moment doesn't exist, you know what I mean? And not because I'm thinking not existing, it's just, you know,
so
I don't know.
Is that understanding?
No, I don't think it's understanding.
Is it detachment?
No, I'm not saying that there it is. I'm just saying right. that's my way to go right. close to that. And again,
right.
it's a try. And the more I try, I see it, more doesn't work.
Right.
So I just try actually to stop to do that.
Right.
And just accept the nature of the things.
Right.
Do you like to have some more other understanding?
Sorry?
Would you like to know or understand
well,
something too?
If I'm here, it's because there is still a part of me that would like
but,
to,
but
even
yeah,
if I it shouldn't
yeah.
be like that. But I think everybody
yeah.
is here for the same reason,
yeah.
isn't it?
But do you think that you can know more or understand more about seeing right now because it's so real? And usually people do not understand it as it is. Because at moment of seeing, there must be the idea of I see all the time. From birth to death, there is the idea of I. But actually, there is no I. What is there at moment of birth? And what is there at moment of death? And what is there at moment of seeing? And what is there at moment of thinking? That can be known, not just by accept it or take it, but there can be some more understanding if you'd like to understand more.
Who is understanding?
the Buddha, the teachings of the Buddha, the word of truth of each moment.
How can anyone experience understanding? When someone will understand is because there is nobody can say I understand. So there is nobody here that can understand. And if there is anyone that is really understanding, is not sitting here, but is somewhere else not saying there is understanding and not even thinking about the understanding. You know what I mean?
In order to do anything, I think that we have to learn to do, no matter what. But in order to understand this moment, there must be ways to condition understanding. If we don't hear anything at all, it's impossible. But when we hear the words about seeing and there is seeing, and there can be more understanding of it. It depends on whether you see that it's worthwhile or not, but actually it's better than not understanding at all. Better than not understanding at all.
And in the final analysis is what that which understands is understanding. That which understands is understanding.
Understands, right? Exactly. Earlier. And his answer is it's understanding that understands.
Understanding.
Just like it's seeing that sees, thinking that thinks, feeling that feels.
Understanding understands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right when you say no one can understand. Yes, no one can see, no one can hear, no one can understand. But wholesome qualities such as kindness or generosity can develop. For example, if one hears a lot about the value of giving and generosity, it's a condition for that quality of generosity to develop. If one hears a lot about the value of kindness and friendliness as opposed to attachment, it's a condition that the quality of kindness itself can develop, not I am kind or I am developing kindness. And in the same way, the quality of understanding can develop itself through hearing more about these different realities in life, like seeing and visible object and hearing, not I do anything or I develop understanding, but through considering these different realities we've been talking about, understanding develops of its own accord, no one to do anything.
To me, I think that it's beneficial to hear something that can bring about understanding of whatever appears.
I think because in what Ajahn was talking about and continues to talk about is the vast accumulations of ignorance that we have that can constantly cover up and still it always tries to, I'm trying to think of the English word is to inveigle, like it's always trying to delude, to cover up, to create darkness. And by wisely considering the presently arising reality, understanding can develop by itself. Not we develop it, but by knowing the conditions for the development, understanding understands little by little, but slowly.
Exactly. Sorry my ignorance in general, but I just say what I got at this point, so I just express myself. But so after you say this, if you have this understanding or just more understanding about things really are, you should understand that bad and good, there is not really difference between bad and good things. You know what I mean? When you say ignorance brings darkness. Darkness? What is this darkness about? What is this good things and bad things? You know, there are bad people out there, there are good people out there, or there are people that do things because they're not understanding, and we call them bad people. But they are just exactly how us. They are just not at the right time to have the understanding. You know what I mean? So we can develop kindness and things because we are at that part of our process that allowed us to develop these things. But again, doing this, believing that we are doing it because it's better to create kindness and generosity is again reinforcing the self and misleading about the understanding of good and bad and darkness and light when it's actually none of this.
In the development of understanding is a condition for many different wholesome qualities to develop alongside with it, like some of the ones when you're talking about good and bad people. Ultimately, there are no such things as good and bad people. Ultimately, there are different realities arising and falling away. It's ignorance that creates the idea of people and good and bad. It's just a whole lot of thinking about different sorts of situations. But ultimately, there are only different realities arising at the moment, arising and falling away, and understanding can slowly understand by understanding the conditions that are necessary for understanding to develop. But it's...
We all know from experience that there are beneficial mental states and there are detrimental ones, right? So we know that being kind and considerate is a beneficial mental state.
So we get attached with that mental states because
we do, and that attachment is a detrimental mental state. So we begin to understand, and that the difference between the two can be directly experienced, not just so that we don't assign the quality of the mental state by saying, oh, I did this, that was a good mental state, or I did that, that was a bad. But the presently arising mental state has a quality of either beneficial or detrimental.
But it's not personal. You know, it's not
it's
like...
It's not personal, exactly. That is the teaching of the Buddha. Mm-hmm. They are elements that are conditioned to arise. They do arise by conditions, but they don't belong to anyone.
Let's talk about just one point at a time so it would be clearer. For example, when you say that no matter bad or good, they are not self, right? But their characteristics are different. Bad cannot be good and good cannot be bad. Different kinds, different realities. So no matter you take that for people or thing or animal, nobody can change that characteristic of a reality at all. That's why we learn to understand that from moment of birth to death, there is no one, no self. There are only different conditioned realities, uncontrollable at all the time.
Yeah. But can I say something? It can sound very bad, but I want to say anyway. So at this point, yeah, what about if we just follow what we feel like, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? If I feel to do something bad,
yeah,
do it, you know, just follow the flow.
Yeah.
And because at the end we will all get at the point,
yeah,
the process. It seems to me that we always seems...
We said from the very beginning, no self. So the moment of following is ignorance.
Yeah, not following, just being, you know, or being.
By conditions.
Of course.
So this is the truth. Absolutely truth. No one can control anything, but they are, because they are absolute realities. Seeing is a dog, it's not a dog, it's not a cat, it's not a human being, it's not a monkey. Seeing whenever and wherever it sees, and the absolute truth can be directly experienced when it's there, no one at all. It's the highly developed understanding of seeing and seeing at that moment is only a reality. No self at that moment. No, it's impossible to take that reality for I or anything. It arises and falls away. And this is the way to understand what's meant by enlightenment, the truth of each reality, which some appears and some do not appear. For example, right now, so many realities are hidden. What appears as seeing and that which is seen. But where is that which is seen? Where is it? Where is the reality which is seen?
Where is the reality of what is seen?
Yeah. How come to be object of seeing? It doesn't walk in this place, but how come to be object of seeing right now? See?
Just how it is.
Yes, but you see that it's with any material, yeah. Softness or hardness, there must be that which can be seen. But hardness cannot be seen. See? And they are inseparable. As soon as I drop this, no seeing of that, see, of that object anymore. So many things that we do not understand at all, because we don't know why we were born differently, different place, different accumulation. But there are conditions for each moment to arise, for sure.
Thanks.
Okay.
So we will probably have